Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Byzantium Endures by Michael Moorcock, beginning at page 367. The machine suddenly bucked forward at a rapid, almost maniacal speed. It was like a bucking horse, an erratic sleigh ride, at once exhilarating and alarming. Foul spray flew into my face. I almost drowned in it. The lake was stagnant. The plane began to vibrate, to slew in the water, tipping to starboard. Then I saw ailerons move on the wings and we were rising over the green lake and the willows, banking steeply, and the brandy suddenly warmed my whole body, my mind and my soul. We were up, flying over the woods, the damaged house, the neglected fields, flying towards hills and the blue sea, a haze between sky and land. I saw the Lemans with their abandoned resorts, glittering and shallow. Columns of marching men, riders, motor vehicles, gun tenders and artillery. This was the release of flying. There is no greater pleasure. Why did people bother climbing mountains when they could gain so much more from this? The air was roaring and yet at peace. It is a combination of adventure and tranquility no jet-setter will ever capture. A grey mist became the city. Odessa from the air, with her factories and her churches, her ports and railways, looked exactly as she had looked when Shura first took me there, exotic in her aura and golden in the sun. But so great was my experience of escape that I did not care if I saw the city again for months. Down into the smoke and yelling murder went Petrov, flying low over office buildings, hotels, flats, while I scribbled on my maps. We went over the St. Nicholas steps. We flew round and round the dome with its huge ornamental crucifix, the cliffs on one side with their gardens and trees, the fashionable Nicholas Boulevard, the sea and its ships on the other, round and round like a toy on a stick. This was stupid and risky. Petrov was still laughing. The guns from the docks continued to fire at us. Was he daring them to shoot us down? There were clouds of smoke everywhere. Petrov fumbled over his flying jacket and took out the object he had placed there. He held it in his gloved left hand. The calico fell away from us like a dead bird. It was not a bomb he held, but a large hourglass and a marble stand. I think it was Fabergé. The marble was white with pronounced blue veins. The glass glittered. The sand was silver. Petrov stretched out his hand, then banked even more steeply towards the dome. I felt as if I were going to vomit. Guns continued to bang. I could hear them through the engine notes, as if far away. His plane almost hit the cross. Petrov flung the hourglass down upon the golden roof of the church. He was laughing. I could see his teeth. His goggles made black cavities in his skull. He was white. His nostrils flared. Through my binoculars I saw the object strike the dome and smash. I saw marble break to fragments. Sand scattered like money. Then we were flying down on the dockyard guns. Maniacally I began to make notes on my map. There was a sudden lurch. I looked back. Petrov had been hit by shrapnel. It had ripped his coat and exposed a bloody mass of flesh. He continued to grin. Because of his goggles I could not read his true expression. He saluted me with his wounded arm, then the plane climbed into Odessa's blue-green sky and we were at peace. The engine cut out completely. We were drifting. Petrov called to me. I think he was delirious because he referred to me as Colonel and spoke of the Vanquisher. His laughter became uncontrollable. He shouted, "Goodbye," and then refired the engine. Laughter and engine note became one thing in my ears. We had started a power dive towards the sea. I realized he intended to kill me. Something tore away from the plane. It was part of the upper forward wing, I think. Then we were spinning in silence. The engine made laughing noises. In my terror, I tried to reason with Petrov. He was quite insane. His hatred of me, or of what he thought I represented, had overwhelmed his reason. I still cannot understand it. He was dead, or at least unconscious, hanging in his straps. I could not reach the controls. I released myself from my own harness and curled up. We hit the water and went through it as if we were still going through air. I began to drown. I thought my ribs were broken. I pushed myself towards the surface. Petrov and the Ertz continued to drop away below me. I could not swim properly. On a current which carried me in, I floundered, astonished, to the beach. I stood up and waded between slimy rocks. My feet would not grip. I had to keep bending down to steady myself with my hands, yet I felt quite revived, as fully clothed, my pistols waiting my steps. I climbed up the beach and saw, on the faded promenade, a deserted bandstand. I had come ashore in Arcadia.